Hey, good morning, church. Hello, hello. So glad you're here and so glad God is in this house. And I'm so glad that Leslie and Hannah are right here with me on stage. In just a few minutes, Leslie's going to be preaching the word. And so now I don't want you to think I'm walking out on him, but while he's preaching, I'm going to slip out and go into kids ministry because I never get to go to kids ministry because I'm usually here and they have a special event going on today. All of the parents of all the kids are in there for a talent show. And so I'm going to go check out the talent show while you get the talent show in here. So, but the reason they're here, though, is we have a special announcement we want to make, and I'm really excited about this. These two people are special. God has his hand on them, and they have felt a call in their heart for years to be pastors of a church. And so they have gone to Bible college, Emmanuel Bible College, where they met. And so they were in Bible college. It's been a couple years ago, but they have served in other capacities in other churches. They have been at Life Community Church for 7 years, and they have served in different leadership roles. They have been on our worship team faithfully. They have been just faithful throughout our house and have kind of led in some ministries, led our young adults at some one point, and done a great job. And I love their hearts. She's a part of sisterhood. They are good friends of mine and Harriet's, and so we have great relationship. And so I'm here to announce today that Leslie and Hannah are going to be starting a church in Providence, Rhode Island. Name of the church is going to be Region Church. Come on, stand up and give them a clap. Come on, they're stepping out. They're going to serve God. They're going to lead a great church. God's going to change a region because of their call on their life. And so we're here to announce that we are sending them out. You can have a seat. We are sending them out as part of our church. And so let me give a little bit of information about this. I'm so excited for you guys, but I'm also like, well, we're going to pray like crazy because we know what it looks like. Planning a church is rewarding and challenging all at the same time. But when you're called to it, God will carry you right through and God's going to do great things. So we have planted two other churches out of our house. So we have a church in Tampa, Florida with Pastor Matt Blair. We have a church in Savannah, Georgia with Pastor Drew Naska. And so this will be our third church that we are sending from here and planting out of this house. And so this is a church that they are planting through ARC. ARC is an organization called for meaning Association of Related Churches. And so it's a church planting organization, and all the churches we plant go through ARC. And so the other two did. They've been approved through ARC. They're going through the training through ARC, and they will be planted up in Providence, Rhode Island. So beautiful place. I appreciate all my pastors that leave here, go plant in beautiful places, because I have to go visit them because I'll be an overseer in their church. And so I'm looking forward to coming out and seeing all that God does there. We are going to support them financially. We are going to also give opportunity for anybody that's interested in maybe being a resident of Providence, Rhode Island. And so let me give this information to you. We have an info meeting coming up. If you're interested in just learning more about this church plant, if you're interested in saying, hey, maybe I want to go and be a part of that, we'd like to bring you to a meeting. They'll share more vision on what God's going to do through them there, and so you'll want to hear that. And so maybe that's something God would put on your heart to go be part of a church planting team there. We will have a service that's set aside that we will pray for them and send them out. This isn't the sending service. This is just the announcement service. And during that sending service that we'll have, we'll also take up a ginormous offering and send them with money and bless them as they go forth, because it takes a lot of money to plant a church, and so we want to be a part of that. And so, yeah, that's what's going on. He may share a little bit more. I just want to pray for you now. This isn't, like I said, the sending prayer. This is just the preparation stage. And so they plan on planting their church about a year from now, in September, a year from now. They will be with us through into the fall, and they'll move up there and start kind of getting their roots planted there. So, Father, we thank you for this amazing couple. We thank you that you called them years ago to this. And, Father, they've been apprehended by a passion to pastor a church. And, God, we ask that this would be a church for the region, a church that meets the need there. And so, God, we ask even now, though, you begin to prepare the way. You begin to open doors for them, that you begin to set aside the right resources they need. God, we ask that there would be housing that's provided for them, available. We ask that for a future church space. We ask that you would open those doors. We pray for the future people that will be coming and attending at that church. And God, we ask that you'll just prepare their hearts. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the preparation stage. I ask that you would have a spiritual machete that would clear a pathway for them, open doors, and give them an opportunity to take the gospel into that region. And so, Lord, we pray over them today as a church. We thank you, Lord, that you are a sender out of a house, and we just send them today, and then, or we don't send you, but we're going to send you in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, give me an amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Awesome, awesome. Hey, we love you. I'm proud of you. Now, listen, I know you want to give a quick vision talk, but then I need you to bring a fresh word to the church, all right? Go get them, buddy.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks, guys. The Lord, like you said, we've been married 14 years now. It's getting sweeter as the days go by. And about 12 years ago, we were serving as associate pastors, and we had a missionary in that conference we were in that came, had just come back from the Northeast, and was just sharing what the Lord had revealed to him there. And in that moment, Hannah was not at that service. And we'll share more on July the 1st, so if you're interested in our vision, come hear that. But it was in that service that the Lord just began to stir in me. My dad was actually born in Massachusetts. My grandfather was from here, which is why I was raised here. They came back. But I have family roots up there, number one, but also the spiritual roots that are there, God just began to stir within me. We have friends that we went to college with who are missionaries in Africa and India and in Prague, and those are great things. God called them there, and he's doing a great work. But Hannah and I knew from the beginning, from the early talks of us, even before we were married, we were talking about, we are missionaries called to America, because America needs an awakening, and America needs revival as well. Yeah. So you can come hear more about it on July the 1st. We'd love for you to, anybody who could. And then I want her, I get to speak a whole lot today, so I want her to share a little.
I just wanted to say that it's all about Jesus. That the why for us is that we know him. We're already followers of Jesus. Our eternity, if we know him, anyone in this room, it's secure. It's found in him. But we only have this one vapor of a life here on earth. Just, it's gone like that. And we want to use that vapor to bring as many people with us as we can. That's what it's about. That's what it's about for us. That's what it's about for you. And that's why we're doing Region Church. It's just a yes to what he's called us to.
I got to marry her, and you didn't. Yo, 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 guys. First of all, I want to acknowledge my bishop, Tim, and our first lady, Harriet. I don't take this moment lightly to open up your pulpit to somebody, so I just want you to tell you guys thank you, number one, for getting back at 4:30 in the morning. And being here today, it means a lot. So thank you, guys. In the first service, my parents were here, and I just want to acknowledge them as well. But let the church say amen. I'm here today to talk to you about what it means to be born again. Or if you want to get real churchy and use your big church words, the doctrine of the new birth. Now, the reason I want to talk about this is because from the beginning, you know, we shared a couple of weeks ago my background and a little bit of my testimony. There was a moment in my life where I was truly born again. And it is a cornerstone. When we go to New England and we go to plant a church, it will be a cornerstone of our ministry. It has been before now, and it will be then, that you must be born again. That Jesus has provided a way for us to be born again, to enter into his kingdom and to have kingdom life. And so that is what I'm here to talk to you about today. We are born again or made new by Jesus' blood and by the washing of regeneration in our soul and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. We are born again or made new by Jesus' blood and by the washing of regeneration in our soul and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for this moment, God. I thank you, God, for purpose. I thank you, God, for calling. I thank you, more importantly, God, for your spirit that is here because it is the spirit of truth. I pray, God, that you would anoint the words that I speak, that they would be yours, that I would decrease, Father, so that you may increase in this moment, God, and you would draw the hearts of men to you today. We thank you that the enemy is defeated and bound, and we silence his voice in the name of Jesus. Amen. The new birth experience, like I said, has been a key for me in my life and my freedom, and it's also been one in Hannah's life, so we will preach it until our dying death. Now, when I say the words, you must be born again, immediately you probably had a picture that popped in your head. Maybe it looked like this. Born again believers, right here. Born again believers. I was playing that joke on them last night when they were on an airplane delayed, and they didn't even know it. I said, Tim looks like an independent Baptist preacher right here. Don't he? Independent Fundamental Baptist. That's pretty good. I honor you guys. Thank you for letting me do that. But when I say that, immediately it stirs up strong feelings, doesn't it? I mean, it does for me. I mean, I was raised in the South. A lot of us were. So we know what that means when someone says, be born again. Sometimes maybe there's even fear that pops up. You must be born again. Fire and brimstone, maybe. Fear. It also stirs up a lot of questions, too. Like, what does that even mean? Born again believers have become known as maybe some fanatics in the South. This is how the world probably sees them. Immediately, maybe some of you got pictures of long hair and long skirts. No disrespect towards that, but maybe that was the picture you got. Maybe you also thought now in the day, in the political society we live in, we're a voting group, born again evangelicals, and are a voting group. Maybe it means no dancing, no cussing, and definitely no movies. Now, I can joke about that because I grew up in a Pentecostal Holiness church, so understand my heart. Also, born again, the idea of it has become a cliche, maybe even, in today's world. There's also this pervading idea in today's modern culture. Look at this picture. This is an actual bumper sticker. How many have seen this around town? There's two or three cars around town that have that. Nobody? Okay, I'm the only weirdo that reads bumper stickers. Yeah, okay. So this is a really popular bumper sticker in Wilmington. I've seen it a couple of times. Born okay the first time. Right? It's a bad place to be. Among Christians today, though, let's talk about church for a minute. It has become a churchy term, quote unquote. It's also become old school. For some people, old school means Old Testament. Don't talk like that. We don't need that word in here today. We live in the New Testament. Don't bring up no old school stuff. We don't want to be stereotyped into that group. In the cool and trendy church world that we live in, some have even removed the new birth or being born again almost completely from the language of the church. I suggest to you today that it's more relevant than it's ever been. Look around you. There is no hope in people. People are stuck in destructive patterns that they cannot get free from. They cannot see past the now. Or maybe on the flip side, they're good and they got it all figured out and they're born okay the first time and there's no need for God. The truth of being born again must be part of the conversation today. Let us not forget that we get these words from Jesus' own mouth. If Jesus said it and he said, I need it, I want it. Right? Is that true for you? If Jesus said, you must be born again, do you want it? Yeah, man, it's good to me. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 3 of John. John chapter 3. If you don't have your Bible, it will be on the screen. No worries. It's 2019. In the cool and trendy church world, you don't need your Bible. Paper, that is, or you got it on your smartphone, whatever. All right, John chapter 3. Now, in the Bible Belt, this is probably the most popular chapter of Scripture in the Bible, isn't it? Right? What do you think of when I say John 3? Right. Thank you. Okay, good. I was like, that could fall flat, but if you ever went to VBS, you can repeat this with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. You can clap for that. That's a good truth that we have today. But you know, if we have that right, we think, okay, everything else will take care of itself. And that's true. It's good to know those things. I'm glad that my boys recite that scripture. But the verses that begin this chapter that precede 3:16 are some of the most important that we should know as well. All right, I'm going to read. Now, I'm reading from the NASB. You may not be reading from that translation. There are many translations these days. But that's the one I'll be reading from to be on the screen for you. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Everybody say Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see. Everybody say, see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? He cannot enter his second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be afraid that I said to you, you must be born again. That's good stuff. Now, there are three translations in all modern versions of the words in the original language here. And my NASB, I learned at Emmanuel Bible College, is closest to the Greek. So that's why I read out of that one. But I love the Amplified. I love New Living Translation. I love New King James. I love King James. It's all good. But there are three ways these words are translated. It either is born again or born from above, right? Does anybody have that version? Born from above? Yeah, okay. Or born anew. That's another way that it's said. But I wanted you to say see because I want you to remember that, okay? Notate in your head that you'll see the kingdom of God. Remember last week, if you were here, Gina said we need to have eyes to see what God is up to. I think the Lord was already setting everything up because when she was preaching that last week, I was like, perfect, because I'm talking about being able to see next week. Over the past few weeks, if you've been here, we did a sermon series called You Asked For It. And there were four questions that we polled everybody, and we took the top four things that people wanted to know about. Y'all remember that? Okay, so there was 4 weeks of that. It was great teaching, wasn't it? It was great teaching, wasn't it? Okay. I think it can also be summed up by this verse as well, all four of those questions. How can I be happy when life is hard? Be born again and see things how heaven sees them. You want to know who I am or what your purpose is? It is revealed to you from above when you're born again. What does Jesus say about homosexuality? He says, like all other sins, you must be born again. We have to see it from God's perspective. Want to know what heaven is going to be like? This is my favorite, like Hannah brought up when she was up here. When you are born again, you can already kind of see it in your mind's eye and your spirit eye what heaven's going to be like. But more importantly, you're going to be there, so you know what heaven's going to be like, right? That's good right there. I believe that all of life is dependent upon who we say Jesus is. All of life comes down to that. Who do we say Jesus is? So if I had to choose a sermon title, it would be, who it is? Who it is? Right, thank you. You'll never forget that as long as you live. But remember Peter, where I get that from, remember Peter, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, this was not revealed to you by man, this was revealed to you from above, from on high. Remember, the Bible says that the God, little g, of this world has people blinded so they cannot see. It's always about seeing in the Spirit, y'all. It's really good. I believe that if we get a real glimpse, if we really see who Jesus is, we will be different. There will be a change in us, and others will see the change in us and then see Jesus. You get that? You believe that? Thank you. All right, back to our scripture. It says Nicodemus, right? I made you say that after me. It says he was a ruler of the Jews. He was an influential member of the Sanhedrin, who were the keepers of the law and the Pharisees. So he knew very well what right and wrong was. Nicodemus knew the law, but he couldn't see with his spiritual eyes, which is why he came to talk to Jesus. In verse 2, it says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" It's interesting to me that Nicodemus affirms who Jesus is, but still can't see. He affirms. I compare that to many of us today. A lot of people will recognize Jesus as a sage, as a teacher, like Nicodemus did, or a really good teacher. I have someone in my family who always wants to talk to him about as a sage. And sometimes people will even acknowledge that maybe Jesus was a miracle worker during Bible times, but that has no relevance to me today. They'll say he's not anyone that I need in my life, like the bumper sticker. They'll say, "I'm okay. There's no need for him in my life. I don't need what he's offering or what you're offering." But Jesus is so great, and in a lot of ways, Jesus is great. But he interrupted Nicodemus right in the middle of his spiel about telling him Jesus who he was, and he went right to his motives. Like Tim said earlier, Jesus knows our heart. He goes right to it, right? In verse 3, he says, okay, so imagine Nicodemus is telling him how great he is. You're a teacher. You're from God. And Jesus just interrupted and said, answered him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom." He went right to his heart. Nicodemus didn't have eyes to really see what Jesus was all about. He had it all together. He knew the law and knew how to do things right, but he couldn't get past his natural sight to see things from a spiritual perspective. He couldn't see who it is. I think God really must want us to grasp that. Gina was talking about last week, our eyes to be open to see what's happening. You remember what she talked about? She talked about how when the battle was going on, they were like, "Them angels has been here all the time." They allowed them to see. Remember that? The same thing, I think God really wants us to grasp that we need to have eyes to see. We need to have eyes from above, God kind of eyes through the Holy Spirit to see what's happening. Get that? Obviously, the Lord wants us to hear that because it's 2 weeks of it. Now, you might say, how that going to work? I mean, Nicodemus was like, twice he said, wait, verse 4, how can a man be born again when he is old? Or and then it goes further on in verse 9, he says, how can this be? Do I enter in? You know, all that stuff he said. I think that we need to have eyes to see. Let me use this illustration. On 88.5 in the morning, I love 88.5 when I'm riding to work at 9:30. Colin Smith comes on, and he's a preacher outside of Chicago, has a great Scottish accent, and he teaches the Bible so well. It's funny how the Lord, when you're preparing, will begin to illuminate what you're talking about to you in your life. And he used the illustration talking about this verse this past week. Now imagine yourself, you got a great, beautiful piece of property on Wrightsville Beach, and you're starting to build a house. You start with the pilings, the foundation, you build it up 2x4s, maybe go 2x6s and really build a great house. Then you put everything, all the fixtures in, you paint it, and it's all beautiful, right? Most beautiful thing, you have your housewarming party and everybody comes, you invite people over, and you invite one of the best builders in Wilmington to come into your house. And you're showing him around, and you're showing a beautiful view, your nice little restoration hardware fixtures, and you're in the bathroom showing him your nice little bathroom going on and all that stuff, and you're super proud. And then the builder, you ask him what he thinks, he says, he's quiet for a minute because he probably don't want to say it, but he says, "It's a complete teardown. You got to tear all this down." Why? Because we build it. We have to allow Jesus to rebuild it. Jesus would come to you. That's good. That's good. I love that illustration. All of our building and all of our works do not matter when it comes down to it. You must be born again. The truth of being born again or the new birth or regeneration is found in other places in Scripture. One of those is Titus 3. It'll be on the screen for you. It's a beautiful scripture about regeneration. "For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, and spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Regeneration is the root or basis of the life that Jesus gives us. This is a defining moment. Like I said, this tells us who we are. You say who it is, I say Jesus. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You take away my sins. We have to get that right. It's not our works of our righteousness, but his righteousness, the work completed at the cross. Let's remember it this way. God is righteous. We are not righteous. Now, I got real clever and capitalized. You see that? But God just was like, that's a little clever touch. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. So I'll use it. God is righteous. We are not righteous. If God is right, then we can't be right too. If God is right, we cannot be right too. Now, I'm not beating you over the head. Just stay with me. God, if God is right, we cannot be right too. Now, this is what messes us up in America, because we are like, I'm going to do it. I do this. I'm free. I am the one in charge of my own destiny. But if God is right, we cannot be. From the beginning, Satan has been telling people that we should eat of the fruit and our eyes will be opened and we will have no need for God. The new birth reminds us that the old ways of thinking or the old ways of doing, those things have gone away. It's a rebuild. He's going to build it from the ground up. All things have become new. The truth of being born again is unique to the Christian faith. All the other world religions is about what I can do, what kind of house I can build, what I can do to gain God's favor or to go to a good life, my next life. This, Jesus, and what he provides for us is unique to Christianity. We need to share that. It sets Christianity apart. It's not anything to be spooky or afraid to offend anybody. It is the truth. Jesus said we need it. Jesus and what he did for us always levels the playing field, right? So he levels at the cross. They say the ground is level, and I grab hold of that. I believe it. Now, I'm a language guy. We studied voice in college, and we sang in French, English, German, Italian, and I love how they work. Well, the English language falls short. We know this because there are like either one word that means five different things. Okay, well, we go back to the original language that this is written in. It's a whole lot better. So I actually encourage the Amplified in your personal study because it breaks it all down, makes it real easy. Whether your translation reads born again or born anew or born from above, it hits on two types of people that make up the world. And they are, number one, those who have it all figured out, and number two, those who don't. There are two types of people that make up the world. You got it all figured out or either you don't. Right. Simple. Keep it simple. To those who have all the head knowledge and great works, maybe they know the law really well. Jesus tells them, unless you are born from above, not within yourself, you cannot see the kingdom. Number two, which I fall under this category, to those who do not, and maybe have made a mess of their lives by their choices, he gives us hope by giving us the hope of new birth and regeneration in our life. It's a good thing. It's brilliant. No matter where you are in life, he has made a way. If you got it all figured out, tear it down. Let Jesus rebuild it. And if you've tore it all down already, let Jesus rebuild it for you. We are no longer a slave to sin or choices. Don't be born okay the first time. Who cares how you were born? It wasn't right or good enough as far as Jesus is concerned. That's not to beat you over the head. It's to give you hope today. Many live defeated because they are longing for victory in their life. Through regeneration, we get victory. Being born again is the basis or the springboard for truth that leads to a victorious life in Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. Being born again is the basis or the springboard of truth that leads to a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll step on toes just for a second. Not yoga. Don't give you a new life. Not meditation. On the wrong things give you a new life. Meditation on scripture is a good thing. Not works, not in our own ability do we get new life. Now, yoga got great physical things to it. You do your physical thing. But just remember, don't get caught up in any, don't get it twisted. It only comes through Jesus Christ. If you are thirsty today, drink of this water and you will not be thirsty again. Don't miss what God has done for you. Stay there in the truth of the fact that you have been set free. I have pitched my tent here. Me and my house will serve the Lord. I have been set free. And sometimes you just have to remember what you did. My sister's testimony this week on Instagram, I encourage you to go read it. It is just what we're talking about. He will make you born again, miraculous and powerful ways, and he will give you a fresh start, and you will live a victorious life. Many of us have been given a gospel that maybe falls short sometimes. Now, stay with me. Don't be offended. What I mean by that is that we will pray a prayer with somebody, and then we'll send them home, and maybe they never talk about Jesus again. It's not a bad thing, John 3:16. Yes, Jesus died for our forgiveness, but he also died that he could live in us and give us the victory. He said, I love this, it's better that I go. The disciples, I would have loved to hang out with Jesus, but he said, it's better that I go. Why? So that I can send the Holy Spirit and he can guide you in all truths. And guess what? It's no coincidence that today is Pentecost Sunday on the Christian calendar. Coming from a good old Pentecostal boy like me, today is, we know Pentecost Sunday, and it is today. And the reason that we mark it is because it was significant after Jesus' ascension. Man, I wish I'd have been in the room when the Holy Spirit came down that day. And he is here and available in fullness for you to live a victorious life today. Verse 5, I want to read verse 5 with you. I'm getting close to the end. Stay with me. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. A lot of debates, a lot of scholarly ideas about what that means. Waters of baptism, waters of your mother's womb. But I think that one of the scholars I read had brought out a good point that he knew, Jesus knew that Nicodemus knew the Old Testament, didn't he? They were keepers of the law. So this was cool when I read this. Check this out. In Ezekiel chapter 36, this section of that chapter is titled Israel to be renewed for his namesake. Thinking about the waters and the spirit that Jesus just talked about. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Jesus knew, Nicodemus knew this. Ezekiel says, I will wash you with water, and I will put my spirit in you. This is what Jesus could have been referring to when he said, you must be born of the water and of the spirit. Who it is. This is going to be my banner, as for me and my house. I am clean and I am new. I am clean and I am new by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. These are a couple of things at rebirth. I want you to write these down. These will stay up for a few minutes while I'm closing. At rebirth, old becomes new. Disorder becomes order. Dead becomes alive. Unrighteous becomes righteous. Living outside the kingdom becomes living in the kingdom. My desires become his desires, my thoughts his thoughts, and best of all, I was blind, now I see. If you are seeking the Holy Spirit and to be more like Christ, you will welcome his direction in your life. Like King David, our prayer will be, search me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is why sometimes when you come to Christ, after you've not come to know Jesus, and you go, maybe make his thoughts become our thoughts, and maybe we have a thought that's our thought again, and you feel that a little bit in your spirit, maybe a little bit grieved, it's okay. Embrace that a little bit, because that's not who you are. That's not what God created you for. If you feel that, just stay there for a moment and be like, why do I feel that way? Because, oh, I was blind, but now I see. I don't have to go back and drink that water anymore. I have living water to drink from. Do you understand? It's okay to feel that. Because we are born from above, we are no longer a part of this world. Quick story. My wife, we have three boys, you know. Every time they do something that's out of character for them, she says this to them. You're an eagle, not a pig. It's not original to her, I don't think, but from Harriet. Okay. From our bishopess. Uh-huh. You're an eagle, not a pig. And we don't argue with them about it. If they say, like, maybe crap is the word, and we're like, you're an eagle, not a pig, then what that means is once your eyes have been born from above, we're up here, right? Don't get caught up in the miry clay again. Don't wallow around and all that. You're an eagle, not a pig. There's a reason why we date our calendar BC and AD, because right in the middle of all that is Jesus. He is the center of everything. Whether you were born okay the first time and you don't want to acknowledge that, he is the center. Today, when you go to the museum in Raleigh, that says before Common Era. Now they're saying BCE. You know why? Because they were born okay the first time. They don't want before Christ to be anywhere around anymore. But they cannot, as long as there's a holy remnant like the people in this room, they will not take Christ away. You cannot do it. We must remember that this life is not all there is. You can be born okay this time, but you will not be born okay when it comes time to meet your Maker. Okay? And that's just truth. It's not anything to scare you or to push you away. It's actually to draw you in. It's as simple as acknowledging who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We must remember that this life is only temporary. We are going to live forever. And it'll be with him or it won't be. As I close, I want to read some lyrics from an old, in our church growing up, we had the blue hymnal and it was like, it was hidden in a drawer somewhere and the back was falling off. But every now and then, one of the mothers of the church would say, bring out the blue hymnal. And this song was in there. And I want to read you these as he's playing. And I just want you, we just welcome the Holy Spirit to speak through this today. Once I was lost in sin. I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by his grace, I'm free. And now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood, I'm whole. Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. And now my hopes are bright. I praise him day and night. How he could change me so, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it is done. The victory now is won. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. We just have to ask ourselves today who it is. Behold, he is at the door knocking, and we have to answer, who is it? Open it up, he'll come in, and he'll eat with you, and he'll dine with you, and you can wake up every morning and meet the Maker of the world face to face and spend time with him with coffee, and it's some of the sweetest times you'll ever have. There's more to life than just being okay. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit has turned on a light in us today, so I don't want you to miss this moment. All can be new and things can be different. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Jesus. In this moment, I give you glory and I put you in your rightful place. There is no one like you, Jesus. God, I pray that you would draw the hearts of men today. Now, there may be somebody in this room who doesn't know him that way, and I want to give you this moment. Thank you, Lord. Just search our hearts today, Jesus. Everybody pray this with me. Father, I thank you for Jesus, the cross, and his rising from the dead. Cleanse us from my sins, make me new, and that I'll walk in victory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.